It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome to Health Talk Radio. My name is Dr. Bernie Valero, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it and how to keep it. Our guest today is Dr. Scott Looper. Dr. Looper is a naturopathic doctor who practices at White Spruce Medical here in Fairbanks. Dr. Looper is also the regular host of this show, but today he's the guest because we're talking about irritable bowel syndrome. Welcome, everybody, to Health Talk.
Dr. Valero, thank you so much for hosting the show. It's so pleasant just to kick back and not have any pressure.
Yeah, this is a fun one. Yeah, I wanted to ask you some questions about irritable bowel syndrome today, and you can talk all you want.
All right, let me start off by saying that I saw a patient recently, and I want to talk about this patient. Now, I have to be careful so y'all know that I'm not going to say the patient's name. I'm going to keep the anonymity of this patient because it's not appropriate. So let's just call her Leah. Now, Leah is a young professional. She's 32 years old. She's single, and she's smart, and she's ambitious, and she is in real trouble. At least she was in real trouble because she's got irritable bowel, and irritable bowel really gets in the way of your life. Now, for those of you who don't know what irritable bowel is, let me tell you a little bit about it. First of all, I'm going to say there's another name for it that some people call it. They call it spastic colon. And that kind of describes it better because what happens is your colon becomes really touchy. And the slightest provocation, it squeezes down hard and it causes pain. It makes your stomach hurt really bad. It's very uncomfortable. And it also makes you have to go to the bathroom now, not in a minute, not in 10 seconds. You got to go right away. So it's a race to the bathroom. And usually what comes of it is diarrhea. Now, the thing about people with spastic colon or people with IBS is they know where all the bathrooms are in their environment because they have to. That's one of the first things they figure out is where's the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And Leah had a real problem because, you know, she kept getting invitations to go out and do things with her girlfriends and other friends. And a lot of times she wouldn't go.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
She didn't know where the bathroom was. She wasn't sure what was going on. You know, they're all going to the lake. Forget it. She's not going to the lake because what's she going to do if she gets in trouble? Where's the bathroom at the lake? It's on, you know, 100 yards away. Yeah. That ain't going to work. So she just said no to these things. Mm-hmm. And she was really bumming her out. Now, she went to the doctor, and the doctor gave her some stuff to help with her symptoms. She had diarrhea, so she went on an anti-diarrhea medication. She was having horrid spasms, so she went on an anti-spasm medication. And also, one of the things that doctors have learned to do is to give people with IBS stuff that helps their brain chemistry work better. She was given a drug that affected serotonin metabolism, which kind of chilled her out and made her feel better because it's a common symptom of IBS to have anxiety. Hmm. Now, some of it's practical, which is like, you know, when is it going to hit? And some of it is really what it's coming from is the bad bacteria in people's guts makes toxins that affect their brain. Now, toxins is a lovely word. What we're really talking about is those bad bacteria are making waste products. Mm-hmm. This is poop.
The stuff you want to get rid of.
Yeah, they have their own metabolism. They eat stuff and then they poop stuff out. Mm-hmm. Well, that stuff leaks in past the lining of the colon into the bloodstream, goes up to the brain and affects people's brains. You know, we had a show on, you and I did a show, I don't know, a month ago or 2 months ago about this very subject. So some people are going to be familiar with it. If you're not, let me be the first one to tell you, your guts have a lot to do with what your brain's doing. It certainly was Leah's case, for sure. So what Leah was on was three medications, and you know what? None of them were really helping. It's not like she ever got better.
Yeah, none of that sounds like it's actually addressing the issue to cure her.
You know, and the doctor she was working with, you know, God bless her. She was doing the best she could. She was doing everything she could to be helpful. She's a lovely person and engaged in helping Leah, but she just didn't understand or just didn't have the training to figure out what was really going on.
Not approaching the real problem the right way.
Yeah, I mean, she's trying her best, but it's not common knowledge on how to approach a case like Leah's. So let me tell you what we did, because I think it was really interesting. One of the first things we did, we ran some blood tests, and I can talk the whole show about the blood tests, but I'm just going to put that on the back burner. Let me talk about the linchpin in her case. We ran a stool analysis. Now, a stool analysis is not a happy test. You got to go get some poop and put it in a jar.
That's right? A test we do often at the clinic.
We do this a lot.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's just the one time. And we give you the jar. It's got to be special with this special fluid that preserves the poop, right? Anyway, so you put it in the jar. You wrap it up. You bring it back to the clinic. We ship it off. And in about 2 weeks, we get this fabulous report that doesn't just tell us, like a regular stool test, that you have pathogens. Because normal stool tests, if you have bad bacteria, and that's what they test for, the pathogens.
Right.
This test is different because it tests not only for the pathogens, but also the healthy bacteria. We get 6 pages of information about people's gut flora. And the interesting thing with Leah's test, when it came back, there were no pathogens.
You know, this doesn't surprise me. Wasn't she? You said she was on antibiotics before.
Yes,
right?
yes, she was. She was, in fact. She was on antibiotics because she had a horrible infection. She got a Clostridium difficile infection, which can kill you.
Right.
And she ended up getting this massive treatment and was on tons of antibiotics, which saved her life, thank goodness. I mean, the doctors were fabulous about that. But it wrecked her in the meantime. Her whole IBS, which was kind of simmering, blew up. And really, let me tell you what actually happened. What happened was the lining of her colon, which should be relatively thick and tough, mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of poop goes
producing
through you.
Producing mucus and...
Yeah, and all that. Mm-hmm. It's just the normal thing. Hers got real thin and real touchy. Because she was short, and short's not the right word. She didn't have a key bacteria. There's a bacteria that keeps our colon super healthy, and I'll tell you the name of it. It's a mouthful. It's one that most people have never heard of it. It's Fecalibacterium prausniskii is what it is. And okay, it's a real mouthful.
Wow, yeah. Right. Sounds like it came from Germany.
It's a $10 word, that guy. And what it does is it makes this stuff that keeps the lining of the colon happy. This stuff is called short-chain fatty acids. And short-chain fatty acids are the favorite food for the cells that line the colon. And if they have plenty of short-chain fatty acids, they prosper. And so the main short-chain fatty acid-producing bacteria, she wasn't low in it. She didn't have any. It was just gone.
Yeah, that test told you that, huh?
Yeah, it told us exactly. And not only that, but out of all the good bacteria, she was short of 3 other kinds. And she had 3 different infections. She had a staph infection, she had a strep infection, and she had a pseudomonas infection. So her guts were a wreck. No wonder she had IBS. No wonder her colon was touchy. Now, my guess is a lot of people listening to this show know what I'm talking about. Not everybody. Some people have, you know, iron guts and they can eat anything.
Would you call that swelling or inflammation?
There can be swelling and inflammation. Her inflammation was elevated, but wasn't that elevated. We did some elevated. Remember I told you all the blood tests I wasn't going to talk about? Now you just get me to talk about the blood test. Because we checked a bunch of stuff, and what the blood test showed was that she had a chronic infection. Mm-hmm. The way the numbers were in her complete blood count skewed and showed she had an infection.
In the white blood cells.
Yeah, the white blood cells. Oh, geez. We're going to start talking shop here.
There was an infection.
Yeah, I won't tell you all the reasons why, but there was an infection for sure. And the inflammatory marker, the C-reactive protein, was mildly elevated. Not very elevated, just mildly elevated. But that's all it took. That's all it took for her to have this spastic colon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if she ever ate something funny or weird, it would just blow her up. And she knew from experience that anything that was tainted in the slightest or overaged or too spicy or anything like that was just, you know, was poison to her colon, and she'd react to it. So she had really caught her position where she had a pretty limited diet. She really couldn't eat much, and she would react to just about anything. And she actually had allergies as well. I mean, that's at least what she called them. It wasn't true. Some of them were true allergies. Some of them were just sensitivities to food. But who cares? If you eat the thing and you get a reaction, you might as well call it an allergy, because as far as she was concerned, it was an allergy.
Yeah. It's the immune system. It's not working correctly, and it's weakened, or it's stressed out. And yeah, these allergies can come up, even though we didn't previously have allergies. Actually, that's something I've noticed before with patients. Their allergies go away when you start working on this stuff.
Yeah, they do. And you know, the thing about this whole colon thing, remember I told you the lining of the colon was thin, mm-hmm. and it was irritable, and it was leaky. I didn't mention that. I don't know if I did. I'm going to say it again. It was leaky. And what happens is hunks and chunks, these are microscopic, by the way, but relatively speaking, hunks and chunks would get into the bloodstream. And so the immune system does what it's supposed to do, is it makes antibodies against that stuff. And now she's got reactions going on.
To stuff that is normal in our life, like food.
Yeah,
we shouldn't be reacting to it, but that's what happens.
And so her whole immune system is now hypersensitive, mm-hmm. and she's overreactive to stuff. Now, the thing is, this is another symptom. And normally when you go to the doctor, and what they would do is they put you on an antihistamine or some kind of mild steroid or something like that to calm the immune system down so the problem goes away, but it's not getting to the core of the problem. And the reason why they're not getting to the core of the problem is they're not just running the appropriate test. God bless them. They're doing the best they can, but they just don't know how to run this test. We didn't used to know how to run this test, but we do now.
Yeah, because we like this stuff. We actually wanted to learn about this because it really fits into the naturopathic system, whereas this is just another layer on top of the medical model that any doctor learns. We learn about metabolism. We learn about microbiology and infectious diseases. And we learn about our own cellular metabolism and our own immune system. Now, combine the two, and you have the gut microbacteria interacting with the body. That's just another layer on top of what doctors should be already learning. But it seems like they don't really get that part in medical school, so we actually learned it after more than anything.
So, Dr. Yeah. Valero, I got to give you kudos because you actually learned more stuff in school than I did. I went to school, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, something like that. I could work out the dates. That's getting on 30 years. Actually, I did 27 years ago. And, you know, half the stuff they taught me was wrong. I just got to say, it was like, I can't believe the stuff they taught me. But what are you going to do? They were doing the best they could. You got a better education than I do. You know more about this stuff than I do. At least you've helped me learn about it and bring my speed back up. And I appreciate that. And one of the things that I've learned is if you look hard enough, you can find stuff. It turns out that the technology is improving every year. Our ability to figure out what's going on is getting better every year. I mean, I knew, you know, about what to do to treat IBS. I've been treating IBS for a long, long time, but never has it been as easy as it is right now.
This test is miraculous. I really am impressed knowing now what the bacteria that are good, knowing that they're low is super important. We didn't really used to test that. And
we
now
didn't.
That we test
we
that.
We couldn't. They weren't testing
this
it.
Is a key to the case, and especially the one you're talking about today.
Yeah, it's called a GI map is what it is, and they use RNA from the organisms to do the test, and they test it with PCR technology, the same stuff they use to test COVID, and it's fabulous. We get tons of information. Now, the next part of this whole conversation is going to be, what did we do? How did we fix it? Because this has been going on a while now, and at this point, I'm just going to give to the punchline. At this point, she's doing fine. She got no spastic colon, mm-hmm. no IBS. She's able to go out with her girlfriends and go out and do stuff. Now, she's got to watch her diet mm-hmm. because if she doesn't, she'll blow up again. And she got wobbly, and I had to sit down and have a conversation with her. And I had to say, look, for the rest of your life, you have to think like a farmer. And it's all about the soil. Live and go. You wake up in the morning thinking, what can I do to improve my soil? You go to bed thinking, what can I do to improve my soil, right?
Yeah.
And the soil in this case is the ecosystem that is inside her gut because she's in charge of keeping them healthy. She's in charge of keeping them happy because she already knows if she gets wobbly, it's all going to come undone. So she's got to be real careful about what she does. So, you know, I think what we should do is, like, go ahead, let's take a break right now.
I think
right
we're going to take a break now, yep.
Okay, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what we did.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing more about the treatments.
Okay.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more Health Talk.
One in four people will have heartburn this week. One in six suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion.
Do you have a new opinion or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guests on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more health talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Welcome back to Health Talk Radio on KFAR. I'm your host today, Dr. Bernie Valero, filling in for Dr. Scott. And I'm here today with Dr. Scott Looper. We are talking about irritable bowel syndrome. Take it away, Scott. I wanted to hear more about the treatments you were going to do for this patient. And you said already, you gave us the outcome that she's a lot better. Now we're curious, how did this all come about, her results or her healing, miraculous healing?
Now, before I tell you what we did, I want to thank you again for being the host today. It's a delight. I really like it. Here's what we did. The thing is, you'd think with a case like this where she had these three bad bacteria, these three infections going on in her gut, and she had a lack of a deficiency in three other healthy bacteria and an absolute absence of this last one, you think what we do is, well, we'd give her antibiotics to treat the bad stuff and we'd give her probiotics to build up the good stuff. And if you think that, you're absolutely wrong, 100% wrong.
That's what everybody thinks, though. I've noticed, you know, everybody thinks when they take an antibiotic, they have to take a probiotic in order to completely counter the effects of the antibiotic. But that doesn't necessarily ever seem to be.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't really work.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Here's the thing. Think about your digestive system as a garden. And if you're going to take antibiotics to get rid of the weeds, those are the bad bugs, mm-hmm. in your garden, basically it's analogous to taking a blowtorch and burning your garden to the ground. Yeah. You will get rid of the weeds. It is very effective for that.
Yeah.
And everything else. And it, you know, you're gonna basically take it down about bare ground. When the stuff grows back, what's going to grow back the best is more weeds. So what happens is people get in this cycle where they get on antibiotics, and then they get better, and then they get worse, and then they go out back on antibiotics, and they mm-hmm. get better, and then they get worse, and it just goes on and on. No, that's not the way to do it. And that's not what we did. Here's what we did. What we did is we looked at it like the garden problem it is, and we realized the number one thing we needed to do was go in and fertilize. We needed to put mulch into the garden. That's what we did. Now, I admit, at the same time, we also put a little bit of weed eater.
So how'd you do that? How did you improve the environment?
So I'll go over. I'm going to give you the way to think about it instead of telling you the specific products we use.
Yep.
So the thing is, what we did is we used some herbs mm-hmm. to knock out the bad bacteria. That there's some herbs that they don't like. Mahoney is one. Garlic is another one. Cassia is another one. There's a bunch of stuff that you can give. Black walnut hulls. So Eucalyptus is another one.
You can. I wouldn't call them antibiotics though. They're more like cleaning things up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They do two things. One is they let's not be mince words. They whack the bad bacteria. They put the hurt on them. There's that. Secondly, is they stimulate our own digestion, so our digestive process works better. And so there's more blood supply, and where there's more blood, there's more stuff. There's more oxygen, there's more nutrients, there's more everything to build our gut lining back up. So the herbs are better. Not necessarily better killers of the bad stuff, they're not. They're second to the antibiotics, but they're better at building up our digestive system. And in Leah's case, That's what she needed. She didn't need antibiotics. She needed to burn the garden to the ground. What she needed to do is build the soil up.
And it makes so much sense because these herbs actually have a natural defense mechanism. As they're growing in the soil, they need to be able to defend themselves from these bugs, right?
And we benefit from those chemicals that are in them that they use for protection, right? They're protecting themselves from microbes, and we're just borrowing that protection for our own guts.
Yeah.
And it helps. It's an assist. It doesn't do everything. The herbs aren't like, bam, take over completely. What they are is they're there as helpers, kind of like a crutch. It helps support you while you're going through the transition. Now, she didn't have to take these herbs forever. She took them for a while and then quit taking them. She's only taken them 6 weeks, and that's all it took. Okay, that's number one. Number two is what we did is we mulched her gut. We made sure that there was plenty of soluble fiber. And there's lots of soluble fiber we can use. Fruits and vegetables are high in soluble fiber. But we really pulled the stops out and gave her something that was super nutritive to her gut bacteria and also calming to her immune system and also mildly irritating to the bugs in her gut to keep them from growing back. And what we did is we had her do a chia seed concoction. We mixed chia seeds with berry juice and a little bit of water to dilute it and then soak it for a few hours or overnight and then had her chug a pint of this every day. It's kind of a weird stuff because it's thick and weird, but it doesn't taste bad. It actually tastes pretty good. And she would, you know, drink half in the morning and half at night and start getting her gut bacteria growing. It was really just fertilizer. We fertilized her gut, and it bulked up her stools a little bit, made it easier for her to poop. It took away the spasticity. I mean, it was, honestly, of all the things we did, it was probably the thing that was the most helpful, this chia stuff. It's
really
cheap. Yeah. You'd think of all the pills you could take. Seriously, the chia seeds were the best thing ever. But you got to be careful with it because if you do too much soluble fiber and people have the wrong kind of bacteria, what they'll do is they'll ferment that fiber and then you'll blow up. You'll get gas and bloating and all this kind of stuff. So it's not uncommon when we start to do kind of small doses of it. You got to be careful not to over-fertilize because then everything blows up. So we got to be, you know, we do a little weeder and we do a little fertilizer and we kind of, you know, inch it along for about a week and say, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. Excellent. Boom. Now we load it up and now people can handle it. They kind of transition into it. And she did. I mean, her case turned in about a week. It was about a week into it. She was like, Dr. Looper, I'll do anything you say because you're helping me more than anybody that ever has. It certainly was for her.
And it doesn't sound too difficult to do either.
It wasn't expensive. It wasn't hard. You just had to, you know, have the organization in your life enough to make this concoction and drink it every day.
Yeah.
And there's some pills that she had to take as well. Now,
I think those results, though, the test results you did with this stool test, I think that's a huge part of it.
That was the key.
And so, yeah.
Because we knew what we were up against. We knew what herbs to use to be able to help her. Now, the other thing you'd be thinking that we should do is to do probiotics. And we did. We did actually some probiotics. But the probiotic, the one we were talking about, this Fecalibacterium prausiniskinii, such a word. Anyways, that guy.
I'm impressed you got that name.
you can't buy it. It doesn't grow. You can't put it in a capsule. At least not that I know of. I've never been able to find it. They're talking about coming up with a way to get it out there, but I haven't seen it yet. It's not a product available on the market where you can take it.
Yeah.
And it's a key player.
So where does it really come from?
You know, it comes from our environment. It is around.
Yeah.
It has tiny. It gets in the air. It floats around. Who knows? The trick of it is if you set things up for it to grow, it will come. It's almost like we're going to build a little house and we're going to put some flowers in the yard and, you know, put a candle in the window and say, please come. And it does.
So what the issue there was is that it's being crowded out by the bad guys. Before you even saw her, what was happening is she can't grow it, right? It had no ability to grow the good one, the fecal bacterium, because she just was overcrowded by the ones that you were saying, the staph and the other really nasty bugs that you don't want around.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's my same thought exactly. Now, I don't have proof.
Right.
Who knows exactly why it failed? I don't know that. But you know what I think? I think the same thing you just said, which is things got wobbly, the environment fell apart, and then it got crowded out by the bad bacteria. And so what we're going to do is knock the bad bacteria down, create this lovely environment for it to grow back, and here it comes back. And, you know, she's hunky-dory now. It's been doing great. So really, the bottom line is you build it, and they will come. That's what we did. Yeah. You got to commit and say, I'm going to do this thing. Now, I'm leaving some pieces out. There's some special stuff about her. Her adrenal glands weren't working real well because all the stress that she was on from work and her life kind of not working. We had to fix that as well. There was some mental chemistry stuff we had to work out as well. You know, always when we do these shows, we never have enough time to say the whole story. Just to be clear about that. But the core of the story is we found that she had a fault in her digestive system, in her colon. We fixed that, and it turned the whole case. And it wasn't even hard. It wasn't even complicated.
I was just reading some research not too long ago, just today actually, about how fasting actually contributes to helping balance the microbiota. And so how do you incorporate that at all with this case or with—
No, not with this case. Though I do. That's an excellent point you make. Fasting turns out to be super helpful. And the way we think of it is fasting gives your digestive system a rest. Mm-hmm. It's not having to process stuff. And if you're not getting bad food in, which is feeding the bad bacteria.
Which is most Americans, right?
I know it. How many tacos can you eat, right? I mean, tacos are lovely, but you eat too many of them and it spoils the
culprit
bacteria.
There with those foods, you know, I think I really have a strong feeling. It's not just the sugar, which everyone blames, right? It's also the fried foods and the oils. The polyunsaturated oils from vegetable oils and the fried foods that come from fast food and a lot of the restaurants. These are the foods that are really wrecking people's guts.
Yeah, and it's excess protein is another one that's a problem. You're right. The sugars are
fasting is a way to just give it a break so that the gut cannot just do what it does is rebalance on its own. It heals itself eventually.
Yeah, in Leah's case, it wouldn't have been enough because she was too far gone.
And
fasting would have been helpful, and soon she started eating again and everything would have come back again. She needed some specific interventions, but fasting is a fabulous tool to bring to bear to help. And a lot of people have liked cases of it. They do a fast and they're cleared up.
The
they're
way
good
I
to go.
Do it is I just throw it in with the herbs. So what I do is where they're taking a little break from food, maybe it's in the early morning before they even eat. I would have them just push their meal back a little bit and have the herbs in the early morning when they're on an empty stomach. And now they're kind of fasting while incorporating these strong herbs that are going to increase the gastric juices, increase the motility, and get that rebalancing and cleaning up of the gut microflora. And that I find is actually very effective. You just do a short fast. It doesn't have to be a lot, but where you even incorporate the treatment a little bit with the herbs at that point, it actually, I think you do that. It's part of your program.
Yeah,
you don't always emphasize how long it should be, the fasting.
Yeah, Dr. Valero, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And you know what? One of the things that I find it's super helpful is before I do anything, I talk to my patients. Mm-hmm. And I say, here's what I think. Here's what we can do. Here's a secondary option, right, if you want. What do you think? And a lot of times they'll say, well, whatever you say. And sometimes they'll say, I couldn't do that to save my life. Whatever you're telling me to do, forget it. That doesn't work for my life. And I say, well, here, let's consider this way. As long as we understand the problem, what's really going on, turns out there's a lot of ways to fix it.
Yeah.
Fasting could be one way. We could, you know, do a specific diet that is helpful. That's another way. We could do the herb thing. That
limiting
helps
other certain nutrients.
We can do a variety of things to get the chemistry moving back in the right direction. You know, and what we do is we make our best guess. Now, admittedly, it's an educated guess. We've ran the test, so we know pretty much what's going on. But we set it up, then run it for a while, and then we have patients come back, and we say, how you doing? And really, for real, I want to know, how you doing? And if they say, I feel great. This is the best I've felt since high school. Woo-hoo! We hit the nail right on the head. If it's short of
that, yep.
We still got a ways to go. We
got
to figure it out.
And that's what we're looking for, and we do see that.
Yeah.
And that's what you had with this patient.
It was a fabulous success and another fabulous success. We do this routinely, one after another. And I don't want to brag too much, even though I sound like it. Honestly, humility is my middle name, by the way. I'm the most humble person you know. But what I really want to do is I want to get the word out that there's a solution. There's so many people that just don't know. They have no idea. They're doing the best they can. You know, they go to the doctor and take the stuff. I mean, what else can you do? It turns out there's a lot of stuff you can do. And this is as much for the doctors listening as for the patients listening as well, is that, you know, if you got somebody who's a tough case and you really can't figure out, do not hesitate to send your patient to Dr. Valero Dr. Cyberly, because another colleague of ours who's also fabulous, as good as any of us, and then me. It's not rocket science to be able to do this. We've all done this enough times. We understand how to approach it, what kind of tests to run, how to figure things out. And my hope is eventually this will become the norm. What we're doing as we do shows like this and we talk to people and we explain this and kind of get the word on the street that irritable bowel is going to be a lot easier to treat than it ever was before. That is my hope.
Hey, thanks. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott Looper. It's such a pleasure working with you. And thank you for having me host the show today. This has been fun. And I know we have a little series of these episodes based on the gut bacteria. And there's another one coming up next time or one of the next few
weeks. We're going to do a bunch of these.
Yeah, so look forward for that one.
Cool.
Yeah, so thank you again, and we'll see you at the next show. Stay tuned, KFAR.
Thanks, Dr. Valero.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.